for tapes, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Right, P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, August the 31st, 2014. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on God Wants You Healed. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
Verse 35, My Heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive from his heart. Well, who are the torturers? The torturers are demons. This is Derek Prince's definition. They're demons that inflict pain. So if you have pain in your body, it's usually you haven't forgiven somebody. They're demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor was someone who stretches someone out on a rack and tortures them till they get what they want. And so he's a jailer that tortures people. If you don't obey, it says in Leviticus 26:14, but if you do not obey me and do not carry out all my commandments in Leviticus, well, let's go to Leviticus 26:14 says, if you don't obey me and do not carry out all these commandments, if not instead you reject my statutes, and if your soul abhors my ordinances so as not to carry out all my commandments and so break my covenant, I in turn will do this to you. I will appoint over you sudden terror, consumption, and fever that shall waste away the eyes. You see that eye problems is a curse. Consumption is a wasting lung disease. And fever that shall waste away your eyes and cause the soul to pine away. Also, you will sow your seed uselessly, for your enemies shall eat it up. I will set my face against you so that you will be struck down before your enemies, and those who hate you will rule over you. The demons hate you, and you will flee when no one is pursuing you. Also, after these things, if you do not obey me, I'll punish you 7 times more. In verse 21, if you then keep acting with hostility against me and are unwilling to obey me, I will increase the plague on you 7 times according to your sins. He said, I will increase the plague. Okay, Deuteronomy 28 says, if you disobey the word of God, it says, all the curses in Deuteronomy will come on you. Numbers, read these whole passages of all of the curses that come. But I'm just going to read a few. Verse 15, but it shall come about in Deuteronomy 28, if you do not obey the Lord, your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes with which I charge you today, that all these curses will come on you and overtake you. And there's 50 some odd curses. But one, it would be good for you to go through these curses and circle the ones that apply to you. I remember a time when I'd do that, and there was so many things in here I saw that was on me, and I began to break them. And now I can look in Deuteronomy 28, and I don't, after years of repenting over Deuteronomy 28, now I can look at it, and I don't see many that are on me. The eye problems is certainly a curse. It's not a blessing. And so, verse 22, the Lord will smite you with consumption, with fever, with inflammation, and with fiery heat, and with the sword, with blight, with mildew, and it will pursue you until you perish. Verse 27, the Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt. You see that boils are a curse, and with tumors, and with the scab, and with itch from which you cannot be healed. Now, you can't be healed if you're under a curse, so what good is it going to do to run to the world for an answer? Proverbs 26:2 says, like a sparrow in its flitting, like a swallow in its flying, a curse without a cause cannot lie. So we're reading that sickness is a curse. Now, if you're under the curse, no man on this world, in this world, can fix you. But Jesus, who went about healing all who were diseased and all who were sick, if you meet his conditions, he will heal you. With the scab, with itch, and with the, with, from which you cannot be healed. The Lord will smite you with madness. There's mental illness, insanity, all kinds of psychiatric problems, and with blindness and with bewilderment of heart. And you'll grope at noon as the blind man gropes in darkness. The brightest part of the day is going to be like darkness to you. And you'll not prosper in your ways, but only be oppressed and crushed continually with none to save you. Verse 34. You shall be driven mad by the sight of what you see. The Lord will strike you on the knees and legs with sore boils from which you cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot to the crown of your head. 58 says, if you're not careful to observe all the words of this law which are written in this book to fear this awesome, honored, and awesome name of the Lord, then the Lord will bring extraordinary plagues on you and your descendants, even severe and lasting plagues, and miserable and chronic sicknesses. He'll bring back on you all the diseases of Egypt of which you were afraid, and they will cling to you. And also every sickness and every plague, which is not even written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring on you until you're destroyed. So it's all the diseases that haven't even been discovered. Then you'll be left few in number, whereas you were as numbers as the stars of heaven, because you did not obey the Lord your God. And so, every sickness, and it says he's going to bring it back on you. Well, he took it away in covenant. Those 3 to 6 million Jews that came out of Egypt, none sick, none weak, and none feeble. Now he's going to say, if you're under the curse, I'm going to bring it back on you. How can you bring back something that you didn't take away? You see that? That's under the old covenant. Deuteronomy 30. He says he'll set before you death and life, blessings and curses. Therefore, choose life and blessings. John 3:6 says, he who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. Acts 5:32 says, he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. Don't say you have the Holy Spirit if you're living in sin. Romans 2:8, but those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath, and indignation. Romans 6:16, do you not know that when you present yourself to slaves for someone, you are slaves to those whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death or obedience resulting in righteousness? Whatever happened to obedience in the New Testament? Where do we ever get the idea that because we're under an easy, and thank God for grace, or we'd all be dead? But where did we ever get that demonic idea that now that we're saved by grace, we don't have to obey? We don't obey to be saved, but if you're saved, let me tell you, you will obey. When you've truly been born again and you sin, I'm telling you, with me, it's like hot wax being poured out on my head. I cannot stand it till I get it right with the Lord. And honestly, I'm the same way about other people. I can't stand it if I don't get my relationships right. And it grieves me when I can't. But you have to let it go. Okay, 2 Thessalonians 1:8, it says he deals out retribution to those who do not know God and to those who do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Hebrews 5:9. And having been made perfect, he became to all those who obey him the source of eternal life, eternal salvation. 1 Peter 4:17, for it is time for judgment to begin in the house of God, and it begins with us first. What will be the outcome for those who do not obey the gospel of God? And you know, I did a word study recently on plague and pestilence and on God's sins. And I had 66 pages of scriptures that said God sent these things. We say, oh, God, a good God wouldn't do that. Yes, he would. He's a merciful God, but he's also a God that gets angry over our idolatry. Judges 9:23, then God sent an evil, I didn't even do the wrath of God or the anger of God, and there were so many I didn't even do. Then God sent out an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Did he send an evil spirit on Saul? And it says Saul prophesied. My goodness, there's so many false prophets prophesying under an evil spirit. Especially if they're telling your fortune and telling you that God's going to walk into Wall Street and your finances are going to be piling back on you. Oh my goodness, tickling your ears. A true prophet's going to tell you to repent. 1 Chronicles 21:15, and God sent an angel unto Jerusalem to destroy, and as he was destroying, the Lord beheld, and he repented him of the evil, and said to the angel that destroyed, it's enough, stay now, thine hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of Ornan the Jebusite. Now that was when David numbered in Israel. I guess it was a pride thing. Psalms 91, no evil will befall you, nor any plague come near your tent. Psalms 106:29, thus they provoked him to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Amos 14, you know, we're living in days where you're going to see more plagues poured out.
Amen.
And I can say especially on church members that are not dealing with their sin. Jesus had more compassion for the lost house of the lost sheep of the house of Israel than he did the hypocrite, the Pharisee, the church member that won't deal with their sin. Amos 4:10. I sent a plague among you after the manner of Egypt. I slew your young men by the sword. There's the sword again, along with your captured horses. And I made the stench of the camp rise up in your nostrils, yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Habakkuk 3:5, before him goes pestilence, and plague comes before him. Zechariah 14:12, now this will be the plague which the Lord will strike all the peoples who go to war against Jerusalem. That's physical Jerusalem, but we're spiritual Jerusalem. If we go to war against our brothers and sisters in the Lord, this applies to us. If we go to war against Israel, the physical Israel, this is what happens. This is the plague that which the Lord will strike all the peoples who have gone to war against Jerusalem. Their flesh will rot while they stand on their feet, and their eyes will rot in their sockets, and their tongue will rot in their mouth. And that's another cause for eye problems, among other problems. In Revelation 16, it says God's going to pour out the plague on those who worship the beast. Well, what is the beast? The beast is anything we're trusting besides God. I mean, you can just name what your beast is. Worshiping the beast. If you're not worshiping Jesus, you're worshiping the beast. Now, I want you to see how closely that grumbling and complaining is tied in with sickness and destruction. If we want to live victoriously and live in divine health, and I'm speaking to myself too, we're going to have to change the way we talk. We're going to have to learn how to talk. Because whoever offers praise glorifies me, and whoever orders his conversation aright, God says, I will show him my salvation. So we have tongue problems. And you know, when we speak negatively, as we shared on Friday night, if we speak negatively, we're being a mouthpiece for the devil. If we speak faith, speak the word of God, God sends his word to heal us, and he will show us his salvation. Complaining means to, let's see if I can find my notes here. To murmur means a sound as a brook or the wind, to a continuous, indistinct voice, a murmur or private expression of discontent. A complainer means literally one who is discontented with his lot in life. It is akin to the word grumbler. And so we've all been grumblers. I've never met a person that wasn't a grumbler or complainer. We're all grumblers, and it fits all of us in varying degrees, some to extreme, but this, oh brother, that's not a praise. Okay, go to 1 Peter, and I'm going to try to make this faster. I don't know what time we started, but I can't leave anything out because I want you to hear the whole message. Okay, 1 Peter 2:21. This is another New Testament verse confirming Isaiah 53. 1 Peter 2:24. I'm sorry, 21. For you have been called for this purpose, brothers and sisters, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. Okay, to follow in his steps, what do I have to do? He committed no sin. We say, well, you know, that's impossible because we're sinners. God said he wouldn't tell you to commit no sin if it was impossible, but we all sin, but our goal should be to sin less and less and less and less, not to see how much we can sin and get by with it. You don't get by with nothing. You may think you do. He committed no sin, nor was any deceit. He didn't deceive. He didn't tell half-truths. No deceit was found in him, in his mouth. See, it had to do with his mouth, didn't it? And while being reviled, he did not revile in return. Now, revile means to fight back. There were times Jesus, when he was questioned, he didn't even answer back. And there was other times when he did speak, he wasn't fighting back with them. He was just speaking the word. It's okay to speak the word in love if God tells you to. But don't do it out of vindictiveness. Don't do it out of meanness. Don't do it because you're trying to get back or you're trying to fight. He did not revile in return. While suffering, he uttered no threats, but he kept entrusting himself to him who judges righteously. And he himself bore our sins in his own body on the cross so that we might, there's three things here in healing. Die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. For you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. I want you to notice that when he compares to Jesus, how it had to do with mouth. Murmuring and complaining has to do with our mouth. Is that correct? Speaking negatively has to do with our mouth. And we're all guilty. What's in the heart comes out the mouth. What's in the thought life comes out of the heart. What's in the heart comes out the mouth. And what's in the heart comes up in the thought life. That's why we have to saturate our minds with the Word of God. We have a thought. God, where'd that come from? Deal with it. And then we can take our thoughts captive. If we have something come out of our mouth, where'd that come from, Lord? How do I deal with it? You can't tame the tongue, but you can get the heart pure, then the words will be pure. And so you see how closely mouth has to do with following Jesus' example. He never complained. He never was manipulating. He wasn't cunning. He wasn't crafty, artful. John 3, verse 4. Read all of John 3. It says, if you practice sin, you're of the devil. And I don't have time to read it. But I'll read John 3:9 says, whoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed abideth, remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he's born of God. You might read that and you think, dear Lord, I can't even be saved. It means practicing sin. If you're practicing sin, we should be sinning less and less. James 4 says, don't speak against one another, brethren. He who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks against the law and judges the law. But if you judge the law, you are not doer of the law, but a judge of it. Philippians 2:14, do all things without grumbling or complaining. Now the children of Israel, in Psalm 78, all they did was gripe, complain, rebel, and idolatry. And read all of Psalm 78, but I'm just going to read portions of it. Verse 19, when they spoke against God, they said, can God prepare a table in the wilderness? They murmured, they complained. Verse 21, therefore the Lord heard this and was full of wrath, and a fire was kindled against Jacob in anger. he mounted against Israel because they did not believe in God and did not trust in his salvation. Verse 29, so they ate and were filled and to their desire God gave them in verse 29. Before they had satisfied their desire while the food was still in their mouths, then the angel of the Lord rose against them and killed some of their stoutest warriors. Oh, God wouldn't kill us. Yes, he would. Just keep on sinning, and he will, especially if you claim to be a believer. Verse 36, but they deceived him with their mouth and lied to him with their tongue, for their heart was not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful in his covenant. But he, being a compassionate God, he had mercy on them over and over and over, and they kept rebelling. And I'm not going to read all of that, but in verse 56, yet they tended and rebelled against the Most High, and he did not keep his testimonies, but turned back and acted treacherously like their fathers. They turned aside like a treacherous bow, for they provoked him to anger with their high places and aroused his jealousy with their graven images. When God heard this, he was filled with wrath, and he greatly abhorred Israel. So that he abandoned his dwelling place. Are you and I dwelling places of the Most High God? Says he abandoned their dwelling places at Shiloh, the tent which he had pitched among them, and gave up his strength, that's his children, to captivity, and his glory into the hand of the adversary. He just let the devil get him. He also delivered his people to the sword and put Psalms 17:13 there, and was filled with wrath at his inheritance. Fire devoured his young men, and his virgins had no wedding songs. We're supposed to be the bride of Christ. We're supposed to have wedding songs. We're supposed to be at the marriage supper of the Lamb. They had no wedding songs. His priests fell by the sword, and his widows could not weep. Now go to the New Testament. I want you to show you a New Testament verse that says basically the same thing. Are we in the New Testament? In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 1. For I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink. For they were drinking from a spiritual rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. Nevertheless, with most of them, God was not pleased, for they were laid low in the wilderness. Now, we just read that in Psalm 78. Now, these things happen as example for us, brethren, that we should not crave evil things as they also crave, or do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and stood up to play, nor act immorally as some of them did, and 23,000 fell in one day. Nor let us try the Lord as some of them did and were destroyed by the serpents. Nor grumble as some of them did, there's that murmuring and complaining, and were destroyed by the destroyer. Now these things happened to them, brothers and sisters, as an example to us, and they are written for our instruction, upon whom the ends of the age have come. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. No temptation has taken us, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted above what you're able to bear, but will with the temptation will provide the way to escape, that you may be able to endure it. Therefore, my beloved brethren, flee from idolatry. In Jeremiah 31, he promises there's going to be a new covenant made, and then he confirms that in Galatians 3:13, where it says the blessings of Abraham come upon us. And let's just read that. I'm sorry I'm taking a little bit longer, but I don't want to have to do this message, because I believe it'll change your life in the future, if not today. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. Look up in verse 10, we say, well, curses aren't for today. Well, verse 10 says it is. For as many as are of the works of the law are under a curse, for it's written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in this book of the law to perform them. that Christ redeemed us in verse 13, for the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, in order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, that's us, so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak in terms of human relationships. Even though it is one only a man's covenant, yet when it has been fulfilled, no one sets it aside or adds conditions to it. Now the promises were spoken to Abraham and his seed, and that's us. He does not say, and to seeds, as referring to many, but rather to one and to your seed, that is Christ. And so when we break covenant, we violate the law of God, we break covenant, and the scripture says in Hebrews chapter 9, let's see, Hebrews 9, how did I get back there? I'm sorry. We're almost through. Hebrews 9:16 says, for where a covenant is, there must be necessity be the death of the one who made it. For a covenant is only valid when men are dead, for it is never enforced when the one who made it lives. So God's not telling us to go out and commit suicide, but he's telling us to die to our flesh, die to ourselves, let go of our life, because when we break God's covenant and don't walk in love, we violate and break God's covenant. In Hebrews 8 it says, well, in Hebrews 7 it says we have that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood. It wasn't the blood of bulls and ashes and heifers, but it was the precious blood of Jesus. And then it says in Hebrews 8 we've been given a better covenant, better promises based on better covenant, better promises, but also a stricter judgment. In Numbers 15, well, in Hebrews chapter 9, it says the priests go into the Holy of Holies once a year, and they offer sacrifices for sins for people that have been committed in ignorance. Numbers 15 tells you there's a difference between sins committed ignorantly versus willful sins. And in Numbers 15, they stoned a man for gathering wood on the Sabbath. Go to Hebrews chapter 10, please. In 10:26, so we have a better covenant, better blood, but stricter judgment. And there's a lot of grace teachings out there now that's saying that, you know, you don't have to deal with sin. That is the lie right out of the pit of hell. Verse 26 says, for if you go on sinning willfully after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a terrifying expectation of judgment and the fury of a fire which will consume the adversaries. Now, it says in James that if you're a friend of the world, you're an enemy of God. It's going to consume the adversaries. Now, it's talking about in 28, it's talking about the old covenant. Anyone who sets aside the law of Moses dies on the testimony of one or two witnesses, or two or three witnesses. How much severe punishment do you think he will deserve who has trampled underfoot the Son of God and has guarded as unclean the blood of the covenant by which he was sanctified? You see, this is the person that is a believer and has insulted the Spirit of grace. For we know him who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge whose people? Since his people, he will judge his people. It's a terrifying thing to fall in the hands of the living God. Okay, look up here. If I'm over here willfully sinning, there's no sacrifice for my sin. But if I stop it and repent, there is a sacrifice for my sin. And that doesn't mean every time you blow it or you do something wrong that you've lost your salvation. But you could if you continue. And so you better quit while you're ahead. Besides, you don't know if you're going to live through the night. And so we break God's law. It can bring sickness, destruction, death on us. So we're going to have to learn how to talk, die to sin, live to righteousness, and by his stripes I'm healed. And there's promises of God that if we abide in Him, we can ask whatever we will, and He'll do it. In John 15, it says, if you don't bear fruit or you don't abide in Him and you don't bear fruit, He cuts you off. What do you think that means? Don't think it means death, sickness? How does He cut you off? God wants you to produce fruit. It's the fruit of His Holy Spirit, not your fruit. And the only way you can do it is to die to yourself and let Jesus be Lord and Master of your life. And so if you abide in Him, He said that you could ask whatever you will and He'll do it. If anyone does not abide in me, it says in verse 6, he's thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. Now, if you dry up, could that be a wasting disease? Leanness of body? My son, when he died, he must have weighed about 70 pounds from weighing 210. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit. You know, much fruit could be baking cakes for your neighbor, if that's what God told you to do, in the physical. But spiritual fruit has to do with dying to your life. 1 John 5:14. If this is the confidence you can have toward Him, that if you ask anything according to His will, He hears you, and if He hears you, you already have it. Mark 11:23. Whoever says to this mountain and doesn't doubt in his heart but believes what he says, the mountain moves. And we all have mountains that need to move in our lives. And we can walk under the power of His promises. We can walk in divine health if we meet God's condition. James 5:13 says, how can people not believe in healing when right here God gives us provision in James 5? If any among you are afflicted, let him pray. Let him pray. You're going through a problem? Let him pray. Ask God. Is any among you suffering, Mary? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith might save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he's committed any sins, they will be forgiven him. And we always leave this verse off. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another. You see, if I can't confess my faults, I'm really full of pride. If I think I have to be perfect all the time and I can't let down or admit, hey, I got a problem, I'm really full of pride. Confess your faults to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that's what we do in the prayer teams in the morning, is we anoint people with oil, we pray for them, but we also lead them in confession of sin. We help them find their sin so they can repent. And so they can get delivered, and so they can get healed. And so I want you to stand up and repent of every sin you can think of, and then if you'll come forward, I'm not going to pray long prayers, but I will anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith. But don't come until you're prayed up and you're confessed up, because it ain't going to do any good. So, Lord, search my heart and let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. What do I need to repent of? Show me what's wrong with me. Show me what I need to repent of. In Jesus' name, I ask you, Lord, for wisdom. You said, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of you. If you can't get anything from God to ask him, that tells me that you never could go to your earthly father to ask him anything. So forgive him for that. Just go ahead and repent, and then when you're through repenting, just a minute, you can sit down, and then I'm going to pray for the food, and then those that want to be anointed with oil, I can anoint you with oil, and the others can go eat. Is that a deal? So just repent of your sin, and then sit down, and I know you're through. Lord, we ask you to bless the food. We ask you to sanctify it. We ask you to bless Rick. Give him a special blessing because this has gone long. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you bless, purify, sanctify the food. Thank you for another day of wonderful food in America. We're so blessed. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.lakehamiltonbiblecamp.com and LHBConline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.